Well, good Wednesday afternoon, and welcome to the Long-Term Care Provider Call. I'm Mike Cook, Director of Long-Term Care Services. I want to remind you that we are muting all calls, and this session is being recorded. We want you to hold all your questions for the Q&A session that we'll have toward the end of the program. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to call us at 405-271-6868 or send us an email, ltc@health.ok.gov. And as always, you can also go to our website and look for the long-term care COVID-19 resources, and that's at ltc.health.ok.gov. We're going to get started today. We'll first up with our general updates, Assistant Deputy Commissioner James Jocelyn.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just briefly, we've got a number of things to cover, but I'll just give you a quick update on the grant status. That just to remind all that we've got the grant deadline is July 31st. So we've got most of the infection prevention control plans getting reviewed. Paula will talk more about that, I believe. We'll give you an update on that. But so we have roughly 260, what did I count? I counted 234 applications submitted. We've approved 167 of those with vouchers pending. We've got another 46 submitted today that are pending review, and we've got 21 out there that have some kind of amendment that folks are working on to get us. So we're moving those right through. If everything's in order, that's real quick. And then finance, you know, does their check on the DUNS numbers and financial scoring. So, but that's, I believe, I was told today that the checks will go out. I believe they are issuing checks and not e-vouchers. So, but that those are going out. There was an issue with the email. So if you did not get an email that said you had the award, that process, you will get an official letter of award notice, but you may not get an immediate email alert that you've had the award. We're going back through to audit who all got those automatic letters or not to catch those up and send something out. If you submitted an application, except for today, and haven't received word back that there was a problem with the application, then that's been, you can assume that that's been approved because those have all gone through, with the exception of those that we just got through today. And otherwise, we've sent emails back to folks saying there was a problem. And that's really it. That's the update.
Thanks, James. So I know you've been heard about antigen testing, and you may have also possibly heard that the White House Task Force and CMS and CDC are trying to get testing machines into nursing homes. And so we have the Director of Medical Facilities here with us today, and I'm going to ask Dr. Latrina Frazier if she'll comment on that for us.
Good afternoon. So good afternoon. So when we start talking about testing, I'm sure there are a lot of things out there, a lot of questions. There's a lot of information. It becomes easily confusing. And so what we specifically wanted to talk about was the antigen testing machines that are possibly may be distributed to your facility. But there are two types of things that when we talk about testing that come to mind. There's the diagnostic, which is the molecular and the antigen. And then there is the serologic, which is the antibody testing that you're hearing about. The antibody testing is not anything that is confirmatory, nor is it something used to diagnose a patient with COVID-19. So when we address the antigen, namely specific, the long-term care facilities are expected to receive possibly the BD Veritor or the Quidel Sophia, which are antigen testing machines. Those have specific instructions by manufacturer which affect their sensitivity and specificity, or their performance. And what is required is based on that manufacturer instructions. Now, one thing that I think is very unknown to people is the fact that it is not the negative, it's not the positives that are the questionable pieces. It is the fact that when a patient with symptoms tests negative, both of these by manufacturer recommend that there's a confirmatory test. That testing is that molecular test that I was talking about, or the PCR that you're hearing a lot of times when you listen to the news or have heard lab persons speak. And so one of the things that I think is very important to understand is that the antigen test does have a good confidence interval. It is able to tell you those positives, and there is an accuracy from according to the FDA. I am going to, at this point, turn it over to Elizabeth Waltman, who is our CLIA supervisor, to just give you some details on CLIA and any additional information over the SOFIA or the BD there.
Yeah. One thing I would like to add on that antigen test is, as Dr. Frazier stated, it is the positives are reliable. It is actually detecting the protein on the virus, so that's the antigen in the patient's specimen. Now for CLIA, the first thing that you must know is in order to get these tests, and I think HHS has talked about this, you must have a CLIA certificate. And I know a lot of the long-term care facilities do. What we're asking here at the State Health Department is that everybody complete an application since this COVID testing is being added. It will, whether you have a certificate or not. It will help us to update the information in that federal CLIA database to make sure we have the most updated information for your facility, and then we will have that documentation that you will be performing that testing. We do have some applications that have a few areas that are filled out for you, as CMS asked us to do, to help make it a little bit easier. And and then we also have if you have questions about the application, there will be information. You will call the CLIA office directly, or you can email medical facilities. And I do think that information will be provided to you all, is my understanding.
So quick question for you.
Sure.
So is this something that the Department of Health will be distributing, or is this coming from CDC or CMS?
Actually, CMS informed us that the HHS is actually the distributor, and that they will determine who receives the machines based on the hotspots. And they have a method of which they're applying the distribution, and it will be in waves.
Thank you.
We don't have a schedule or anything, but...
Understood. I noticed where, the administrator, Seema Verma, had made this information available when they were in Louisiana. And I know Louisiana and Texas have been hot spots, but everybody's talked about these machines and they don't know, who's got one? What's it look like? What's going on with them and stuff? So, we just want to make sure it's updated because testing has been, so complex and such a main part of the response to the pandemic that once we get these in all the nursing homes, they can actually utilize these as a tool. So,
yes. And they're supposed to provide very quick results and an easy use to get your patient swabbed.
Okay. I was going to ask more, but I'll stop there. I'll leave it for everybody else to ask questions. So we appreciate it so much. We have a question answer at the end. If you all can stay, you're welcome to stay. But thank you so much for the update.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move over to our manager survey for infection prevention monitoring plan updates with Paula Terrell.
Okay, so we're trying to wrap this up so we can get all of these acceptances where you need to submit your grant application. Right now, we have received 573, which is about 88% of what there is out there. So we're expecting like another 81 more. If you haven't turned them in, go ahead and turn them in. And of those that we've received, we've approved about 90%. So moving along pretty good.
So, Paula, question. On those that